present Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry.
Morning.
Yes, that will be fine. No problem at all. Thank you for calling.
Who's that?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody?
It was Sir Harold Dixon.
Oh, you were right the first time. Oh, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit public transport.
Bad journey.
It's always a bad journey. You know, it's not even as I want two jags. One jag would do. With a chauffeur and a little bar and a television.
In your dreams, Mr. McCabe?
Yeah, you know, round about next May, there'll be an announcement from Downing Street where, sorry the baby's late, it's coming on the central line.
I'll get you some tea.
I suppose it's a bit early for something stronger. You know, I get off that train every morning and I think, oh, that's me for the day. I'm exhausted before I start. I don't think I'll even bother starting.
Good morning, good morning. Sandy, good morning. Martin, how the hell are you, old chap?
Oh, God, is that the Queen's Award for Industry, or are you just pleased to see me?
Work to be done, money to be made, and I'm expecting a new commission, Martin, from our mutual friend. Any calls, Sandy?
No, not really.
Sir Harold Dixon phoned.
But he didn't want anything important.
Let's go through to the inner sanctum, shall we, Martin? Have we made any progress on the Dixon account at all?
Certainly not.
Oh, well, it's not our most important account, is it? Martin, our government retainer is absolutely essential to the financial well-being of Prentice McCabe.
Well, so it may be, Charles, but it makes us a sort of dirty tricks department at New Labour.
Yes, fun, isn't it?
Your tea.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, I can't say I'm happy about it.
Not happy, but Martin, you're always happy as I mount these weary stairs each morning, tottering under the burdens of cash flow and profit and loss.
And Sir Harold Dixon's lawyers.
And Sir Harold Dixon's lawyers. My heart is lifted by the sound of Martin cherubically chirruping.
I do not cherubically chirrup.
Oh, but you do. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird, you see, you chirrup.
Charles, you don't have to go to an urgent meeting at all, do you?
Well, actually, this is sadly just a flying visit. Yes, our mutual friend desires a meeting. It's hush, hush to the power of a million, apparently.
Oh, good. Well, in that case, I think I'll sit here and give the Dixon account my undivided indifference.
Actually, I was wondering if we could have a bit of a chat.
Is there a problem, Sandy?
It's not a problem. I just thought it was about time to discuss my future.
Oh, just what Martin's been saying.
No, I haven't. Perhaps I'll get my coat.
No, I'm required to go alone. Staff relations are your responsibility, after all, and do try and get some work done, won't you, before we have to take over the post office tower to accommodate your pending train.
Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course this is safe. It's a Liberal Democrat press conference. There's nobody here at all.
Charles, people get very cold and miserable at this time of year.
Is that in code? Or is it a major discovery by a Downing Street think tank?
No, you remember the winter of discontent. People were freezing, the trains weren't running, the hospitals were overflowing, rubbish was left uncollected.
Oh, yes. Labour governments don't change much, do they?
The then Labour Prime Minister said, memorably, crisis, what crisis?
So he did, and went on to win two BAFTAs and a British Comedy Award.
We do not intend to make the same mistake. New Labour has spent nearly 3 years cultivating a feel-good factor. We don't wish to see it dissipated because of a long, miserable winter. They can affect election timing. E-E.
I'm sorry?
E-E, Charles. Project Early Election.
Oh, thank heaven for that. I thought for one moment I was being seduced by a perverted Yorkshireman. Yes, of course. The government is planning to spring an early election on the Tories, is it?
The thing is, Charles, the nation is cheering up, and that is where Prentice McCabe comes in. We have a commission for you.
Three cappuccinos.
Thank you. Oh, Sandy, you haven't got any change, have you?
Yes, all right. Mr. McCabe, are you sure it's all right to be away from the office?
Oh, yes, yes, get over the rigours of the day.
The day's hardly started.
Yes, well, where work is concerned, I'm a great believer in getting your retaliation in first. So, what's bothering you, Sandy?
I just wanted to have a chat about my future.
Well, you know what they say, the future's bright. The future's a sort of dirty brown colour.
You see, my MVQ in business administration...
Level two?
Level two. I've nearly finished. I've got 7 units out of 9, and once I've got it, I won't be a trainee anymore. So what are the chances of me being an employee, you know, with real wages instead of the odd little stub out of petty cash?
Real wages, huh? Well, yes, you see, we took you on as a trainee because you are young, bright, keen.
And dirt cheap.
Well, of course, yes, that is the consideration to a new business. There are all the problems of start-up capital, debt overhang, prohibitive overheads.
What does all that mean?
Sandy, don't ask trick questions. The point is that Francis McCabe is still at an uncertain stage.
Yeah. So am I.
Sandy, you definitely have a future, Prentice McCabe. In the future.
Right. Yeah. Well, in that case, show me for two cappuccinos.
Charles, we all know what politicians do when they want a feel-good factor. They cut income tax, throw money at the health service and say, how's that for economic genius?
Yes, well, that's exactly what they're going to do, but it's not enough. Martin, what, in your judgment, would raise the spirits of the nation?
Seeing Chris Tarrant get his hands stuck in a toaster?
Think big, Martin.
Yeah, well, all right. Chris Tarrant gets his head stuck up an elephant.
Martin, what is it that sets them singing in Sunderland, dancing in Darlington, puffing with pride in Plymouth?
Free Class A drugs when you buy a lottery ticket.
Sport. Sport, the new religion. Our mission, should we decide to accept it, Jim, is to contrive a major English sporting victory to cheer the nation.
England? A major sporting victory? Charles, when was the last time England won a major sporting trophy?
Well, to the nearest 34 years, it was 34 years ago.
The World Cup. Would I be right in thinking that nowadays our football team couldn't beat the Faroe Islands second 11 playing blindfold after a heavy lunch?
I think that's broadly accurate.
And look at our rugby players, so strong, so willing, so pathetically unable.
Well, yes.
And our cricketers, bless them. Any politician who came to power singing things can only get better has never watched England play cricket.
If a victory is required, a victory there shall be, at an immense profit to Prentice McCabe.
Oh, profit, profit.
Profit, Martin, is the difference between lunch at the Connaught
and
a takeaway from Cohen and Wong. England's hockey team lost. England's women's dance team...
Yes.
Lost.
You know, I can't help feeling I'm somehow missing the point.
The point is that we've been hired to do a job.
The point is the English like losing. We're very good at it.
Not in the new Britain.
Charles, if you have one redeeming feature, it's your cynicism. I've always liked your cynicism. If you spout that tosh about New Britain, don't sound as if you believe it. We love it when we lose.
What nonsense?
It's not nonsense. No, look at that tennis chap, the British one with the Canadian accent. Gets in the lead, two sets to love, five games to one, 40 love, and then loses. And why?
A run of bad luck.
It is not bad luck. It is because ultimately we cannot be asked. It is losing as a form of superiority. It's the post-sport society.
Unadulterated drivel.
It's saying to the world, we are the English and we cannot be bothered with this sweaty, jolly foreigner puffery. We are above such things.
Martin, have you ever been to a football match?
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, if you had, you would have some notion of the passion of the English sports fan.
You're getting it wrong again. Passion, yes, but what is the point of the passion? People don't go to cheer, they go to boo. They see a bunch of overpaid, overprivileged young brats and they think, let's give them a torrent of foul-mouthed abuse. They don't want to see somebody win, they want to see David Bottom fall on his Beckham.
Trying to find his elbow, presumably.
Sandy, what do you think of David Beckham?
He's an overpaid punk.
Precisely.
Mr. McCabe, do you remember our little chat?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Any time, Sandy. Glad to have put your mind at rest, giving you the benefit of my advice.
Oh, good. Is it all right if I take the afternoon off?
Afternoon off?
I've got, an urgent appointment.
Well, normally, of course, this would have to come out of your wages.
But I don't get any.
No, quite.
Sandy, of course it's all right for you to take the afternoon off.
I've done your typing and your photocopying.
Good, good.
And washed your socks and ironed your shirts.
Good, good. Martin, does Sandy seem all right to you?
Yes, I think so. The usual grumbles.
You have your little chat.
Oh, yes, yes, I think I put her mind at rest. You know, Charles, I really think you may have bitten off more than you can chew with this one. I mean, how do you fix a major sporting event anyway? Bribes? Tranquilizer darts?
They may have their part to play, Martin. If only we could decide the sport. Archery?
No.
Bowls?
No.
Amateur tobogganing?
No.
Barn door throwing? Cart horse racing?
No.
Equine toss pottery? Fly fishing? fish flying. Mad goat tethering.
Charles, you think the Prime Minister is likely to win the next election because England won the World Goat Tethering Championship?
Llama dressage. Boxing stoats. Tractor pulling from Rotterdam.
Oh, I watched that. We never win.
Uphill waltzing. Violent chess. Worm charming.
Yeah, possible. Possible cult value, but a bit difficult to fix.
Professional wrestling. Professional wrestling?
Oh, professional wrestling doesn't exist anymore. It's taken off the telly about 20 years ago.
One, two, three.
It's the sherry.
It's a wheeze. The World Wrestling Championships. No, the Wrestling World Cup. Everyone has a World Cup nowadays, only this one, England, will win.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next contest is the main contest of the evening. Heavyweight contest of 8 5-minute rounds, 2 pinfalls, 2 submissions, or a knockout to decide the winner.
Get over here, you punk!
A bit different from Whist Night at the Reform Club, Charles.
The drama, Martin, the potential.
In the blue corner, he's come all the way from France. Gerard Carpentier, the ferocious frog. And in the red corner, he's the rising star of wrestling. He's your local boy, Jimmy Crossbuttock Crawley. Your referee tonight is Mr. Charlie Case. Seconds away, round one.
Jimmy, are you the fairy?
You see, Martin, national morale.
Gentlemen, I believe you wanted a word. Dickie Wynn, win promotions. Of course, it was a terrible blow to the game when he took it off the telly.
How would you like it back on the telly?
Are you serious?
We do have an exclusive range of contacts at the highest level of broadcasting. Of course, anything in which Prentice McCabe became involved would require a certain level of predictability.
Mr. Prentice, might mind if I call you Charlie?
Well, I do, but how can I refuse someone so somehow big?
Charlie, I've been promoting fights for 40 years, and every one of them's been guaranteed fixed.
Martin, I've missed my vocation. All those years of high politics
and low cunning.
And low cunning, I grant you. And all my life, I should have been a wrestling promoter. Everyone guaranteed fixed. It's poetry. Of course, it would be essential for our purposes to cultivate an atmosphere of passion, commitment, high sporting seriousness.
So you don't want a bloke in a frog suit?
Well, I think the bloke in the frog suit might come under the heading of optional extra.
Charles, can we really sell wrestling to a sophisticated audience? That chap who suddenly yelled, "Oh, me leg," at the start of round four.
He did lack a certain dramatic conviction,
particularly when his opponent was out of the ring at the time.
Yeah, the technology's moved on a bit since my time. What do you reckon we do about multiple replays, clever camera angles and in-depth analysis?
You're perfectly right, of course. We'll have to send it to the BBC.
The controller will be with you in just a moment. Some coffee?
Thank you, yes. You know, we must get ourselves a world wrestling website, Martin. www.grunt/grapple.
Charles, so sorry to have kept you.
Not at all. You know, Martin.
Of course. Charles, let me come straight to the point.
Isn't it extraordinary when somebody you were at school with suddenly pops up in a position of some importance? Mm. One minute they're second form pencil monitor, the next they're controller of BBC One.
Yes. Charles, I'm going to be very blunt.
As indeed were the pencils. Sorry, you were saying.
I'm not showing wrestling in place of EastEnders.
Yes, you are.
No, Charles, I'm not. I'm not watching my ratings collapse in the interest of some crack-brained scheme dreamed up by Prentice McCabe.
But you're a public service broadcaster. Ratings aren't everything.
Martin, to a public service broadcaster, ratings are like sex. When you're getting plenty, they don't matter. When you're not getting any, they matter lots.
The point is, Philip, this is a ratings winner. World Cup wrestling.
It's been a lean year for BBC Sport. You had to share the Cricket World Cup.
ITV had the Rugby World Cup.
And Sky had the Ryder Cup. And here we are offering exclusive rights to our Wrestling World Cup. When people see this, they'll say, Ryder Cup? You can use the Ryder Cup as a cat urinal.
No.
It is the express wish of the government that the BBC should be involved.
The BBC is not here to serve the express wishes of New Labour.
Yes, it is. No, actually, Marty, let's be fair. Phil is absolutely right and remarkably courageous.
Courageous?
Certainly. When we regretfully report back to our client, the minister, that a BBC controller has told the government to get stuff
in the run-up to a licence fee settlement,
I have no doubt that the minister will say, how courageous.
What about immediately after EastEnders?
A man of vision and judgment.
You really think this could be a winner?
A winner? The drama, the tension, the Wrestling World Cup will make EastEnders look like a lecture by Brian Walden.
And think of a grand final, an evening of national joy and celebration.
But how can you be sure an English fighter will win? Oh, what a damn silly question to ask Prentice McCabe.
You know, Sandy only has to take one afternoon off, and I can't find anything.
I'm sure she's preoccupied about something. I mean, look at this. Normally, her telephone messages are so professional. Please ring this number. No indication of who or what. That's not like Sandy.
Well, I did tell you, Charles. I mean, when you come down to it, we have been exploiting her. Charles, do you ever think that we're a couple of toffee-nosed tarts with our heads stuck right up our own?
No.
Oh, no. Well, I just wondered.
Dixon's office, Sandy speaking, how can I help you?
What?
Sandy speaking, how can I help you?
You Jezebel!
I'm afraid Jezebel's in a meeting at the moment. Would you like to leave a message?
Don't you come the professional telephone manner with me. I taught you your telephone manner.
And I'm very grateful, even if I would have been better off flipping Macmillennium Whopper burgers.
Sandy, the unpaid trainee is a respected figure.
Not as respected as 15,000 a year. Thank you for calling Sir Hal Dixon. Goodbye.
She's left me for Sir Harold Dixon.
Copyright Mills and Boone, 1970.
Martin, you seem not to have quite grasped the implications. This means you will have to do your own photocopying.
Ah.
And typing, and filing, and answering the phone.
Well, if you're going to have to do all that, Charles, there's only one thing for it. We'll have to give ourselves a pay rise.
My colleague, Martin McCabe.
Pete Tucker Worldwide Promotions. Well, Mr. Barrett, Mr. Prentice, the Wrestling World Cup will be carried into the hall, followed by a parade of A-list celebrities in leotards.
Lulu, Trevor McDonald.
Yeah, well, some of them are a bit B-list-like, but, you know, at least they said yes to the leotards. Now, the Prime Minister will be up in the Royal Box up there.
In a leotard?
No, sadly not. Now, he makes the World Cup lottery draw from the box, and this is where it gets really exciting.
Yeah, I did wonder when it would get exciting, yes.
Charlotte Church descends from the gods and lands on that spot in the ring. She holds the World Cup aloft and sings, "Someone's going to get their head kicked in tonight." With the Academy of St. Martin in the field.
Martin, stop vomiting.
Charles.
Oh, do excuse us for one moment. Archie, you look worried.
Downing Street is very, very unhappy.
Our brief was that England should win a major sporting trophy. There is the Wrestling World Cup. England are going to win it.
But we never said wrestling, though, did we? I mean, wrestling. You're trying to make the Prime Minister look ridiculous.
Well, that wasn't strictly part of the brief.
Couldn't you have chosen something sensible? Wrestling is an absurd, outmoded relic of the 1960s.
So is the Prime Minister.
Forgive my colleague, he's brainstorming. Archie, the Wrestling World Cup is perfect for your purposes. It's the ultimate triumph of style over substance. A few grunts, a few groans, a couple of token gestures, and a result that's been decided in advance.
It's like a cabinet meeting.
And it is fixed, utterly, pervasively fixed. This is a control freak's dream. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Charlotte, hang on, love. Excuse me, gents. Charlotte's got stuck again.
Oh, happy day.
Martin, what is the matter?
I am not going to be defeated by a photocopier.
And having abandoned hope of two pinfalls or two submissions, you're going for a knockout. Leave it. There are details to finalise.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Life's too short for kicking photocopiers. I'll just headbutt the computer and then I'll be with you.
Come and sit down.
Yes, all right.
So, Cross Buttock Crawley is to be champion of the world. Now, I've mapped out his early fights. I thought a couple of quick knockouts to give him credibility, get people talking about him.
Sound thinking, Charles, and then a dour struggle in his next fight to build that suspense.
Exactly. Now, whom do you think he should beat in the quarter-final?
An American? Any reason?
I don't like Americans.
Well, I suppose that's a reason.
What about two obese American children, one on top of the other, a savage knockout, and the ring spattered in blood and cheeseburgers?
Martin, this is the Wrestling World Cup, and you're being silly. An adult American in the quarterfinal. Now, in the interest of maximum emotional impact, whom do we put in the final? An Australian or a Frenchman?
I do like that frog soup, Charles, the ferocious frog, Il Mange la Merde.
I think we'll keep him just for the semis. I think I have the chap here. The Billabong Kid. 6 foot 6 of rippling, arrogant Australian manhood.
Being comprehensively shafted by an Englishman in front of a worldwide audience.
And in the presence of the Prime Minister, who modestly allows himself in front of the camera and shows that here in New Labour Britain we win things. Of course, as your Prime Minister, I claim no credit, although I've always been a big sports fan.
Oh, yes, he supports Newcastle, and one day he'll look it up on a map.
But this shows that we can take on the world and win, and the election is 3 weeks on Thursday.
Are you sure this is safe?
Archie, do calm down. This is the least successful restaurant in London. There's nobody here.
Yes, it was such a noble idea, wasn't it? Cohen and Wong, a subtle fusion of Chinese and kosher cuisine. Interesting, imaginative, and bloody awful. No customers at all.
Who's this, the King Prawn Passover surprise?
So, Archie, there's nobody here but us lemon chicken soups.
In that case, gentlemen, I can say frankly that I am astonished.
Oh, you mean the sweet and sour salt beef?
No, I mean your achievement. You've fired the imagination of the country. The wrestling website is one of the most popular on the net.
Rights owned by Prentice McCabe.
Wrestling computer games are selling like hotcakes.
Rights owned by Prentice McCabe.
The nation's children are all demanding wrestling trunks and robes, saying, Crawley for England. And people are tuning in their millions. Do you know, I met the Director General of the BBC the other day. He said it's as if Grandstand has been brought back from the grave.
All part of the Prentice McCabe service.
Who's the Tel Aviv duck?
It's because England is going to win something. At long, long last, England is going to win something. At the outset, you know, Martin here had his doubts. Some nonsense about failure being the national obsession.
Yes, I did run that one up your flagpole, didn't I?
Of course, it's not been without its sticky moments.
Our chap Crawley, unbeknown to us, suffers from nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds?
Oh, it's all right. He did win his semi-final, except it wasn't so much a knockout, more of a drowning.
And the French were difficult.
The French are always difficult.
Their ferocious chappie refused point-blank to take a dive in the fifth because he was fighting for the dignity of France.
What did you do?
I offered him some English roast beef. You know, there's a thriving black market for the stuff. I've got some English huds back. Aimez-vous? Its popularity is positively Colombian.
He came round to our way of thinking. That's what matters.
Well, the PM is greatly looking forward to tomorrow night. And I think I can tell you, gentlemen, the very strictest confidence that what with the good economic news and this national euphoria, an announcement may be sooner than we think. On Tuesday, the PM will be asking Her Majesty the question.
Are you the set some bagels?
We were offered front row seats, Charles.
Yes, but there's something about the masses en masse. So much more civilized to sit back and watch a job well done in some comfort, don't you think?
Yes, I must say, I think you're right. How long is there to go?
Another two rounds, and England will hold aloft a trophy. The nation will celebrate. The BBC will gasp in wonder at viewing figures unequaled since Morecambe and Wise. And the PM will find some spurious reason for seeking a fresh mandate amidst the general jollity.
I think our boy's moving in for the kill. Oh, honestly, that's the fourth time your page has gone in the last 2 hours.
Well, the pages are alive with the sound of New Labour. I command you to lose this fight, Archie.
What? What? Lose the fight? What the hell's the man talking about?
Well, we can't lose the fight. There's going to be a knockout in 4 minutes. Why the hell would we want to lose the fight?
Charles, what actually is that on our boy's leotard?
What on earth does that matter?
I mean, no, let's see it in close-up. Michael Portillo for PM. Our boy's a Tory. Cross Buttock is a Conservative.
What?
Honestly, Charles, no details have been neglected. Nothing can go wrong. No one of the PM's looking so miserable.
And weary, a Cross Buttock Crawley of England.
Well, wheeze your way out of this one.
Well, you know me, Martin. Never knowingly under-wheezed.
Tories mired in sleaze again. I am a dirty sleaze rat. Crawley's full confession, see inside. You leaked to the press the whole thing was rigged.
It was terribly clever, really, of the Tory party to try and hijack the event. And holding a celebration at Central Office with a new world champion in tow, I'm a Tory because they know how to treat foreigners. Sadly, their celebration was short-lived. They lasted until the first editions arrived.
And naturally, you kept Prentice McCabe's name out of it.
Oh, I did better than that. I hinted that the whole thing had been organised by a betting consortium run by Sir Harold Dixon.
So, England have lost as usual.
And the Conservatives have lost as usual. What was it Archie's email said? Congratulations again. Please eat this email. Sandy!
Sir Harold Dixon has gone bankrupt.
Oh dear.
And his assets have been confiscated, and he's been arrested by the fraud squad.
Well, apart from that, how are things?
Sandy, welcome home. Have £10 out of petty cash.
Oh, thanks.
And welcome back to Prentice and McKay.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring John Bird and Stephen Fry, with Siobhan Hayes, Tony Gardner, Simon Greenall and Beth Chalmers. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.